I'd like to welcome everyone back this evening to our service. My topic this evening is the altar fees. And since our study is has been the theme of if your heart is right with God, this kind of goes along with it, just the opposite of what we study. It's not that we will look like a Christian or have pure speech, but if your heart is right with God, you don't want to be anything like this fellow. He doesn't fit the things that we've talked about. For our introduction, let's just, it's only 14 verses, so let's read 3 John. The Bible says, the elder to the beloved Gaius, in my love and truth, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. You have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. So as we read this chapter, we read, we notice that Gaius was commendable. And the Bible says that the truth was in him, and he walked in truth. He demonstrated love and hospitality towards the brethren and for the strangers. Unfortunately, there's this other gentleman, Diotrephes. In this letter, he doesn't possess the spirit of Gaius. The Apostle John felt it necessary to relate what Diotrephes had done and what he would have to do in response. While there are many people today who possess the spirit of Gaius and bless the Lord's church accordingly, it's not uncommon for the spirit of Diotrephes to be found in some churches. One individual that will tear apart the love and the unity that exist in every congregation. To guard against this spirit of Diotrephes, the purpose of the lesson is twofold. First of all, to identify exactly what characterized the spirit of Diotrephes, and to consider how it was so contrary to the principles taught by Jesus and the apostles. These four characteristics of Diotrephes. The first, desiring preeminence. The second, rejecting authority. The third, speaking evil of the brethren. And fourth, abusing church discipline. This is a man that you might hear him say, it's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. In verses 9 and 10 concerning Diotrephes, it says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. So the four characteristics concerning the Otrephes: one was desiring preeminence, rejecting authority, speaking evil of the brethren, and abusing church discipline. In the case of the Otrephes concerning desiring preeminence, John wrote that he loves to have the preeminence. This word preeminence in the Greek means to be fond of being first, ambitious of distinction. I love to have the preeminence. It was his love of being first, which is a sin in itself, that led to other sins that he committed. Unfortunately, the Otrephes failed to consider that sin is spelled with a capital I. It is self. That is at the root of all sin. The teaching of the scriptures concerning this, it says, when we have an example, when the mother of James and John expressed a desire for her sons to be given preeminence, Jesus taught the principle of humility and service. We read this in Matthew 20, verse 20 through verse 28. There it says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus also taught this principle of humility and service again as he spoke out against the scribes and the Pharisees, Matthew 23, verse 6 through verse 12. There it says, they love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your Father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The Apostle Paul taught that in matters of honor, we should give preference to one another. We should consider others before ourselves. He says in Romans 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, and honor giving preference to one another. So as Christians, we must not have the sort of selfish ambition that we find here in the Otrephes, but the humility and the servitude that we find in the mind of Christ. In Philippians 2, verse 2 through verse 8, the Bible says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Whereas sin is spelt with a capital I, since self is the root of all evil, the cross is an I that has been crossed out. Denying ourself is a fundamental principle of Christianity. So what about today? You know, we live in a me generation where it's all about me, where the spirit of Diotrephes reigns supreme in our generation. It shouldn't surprise us when the church is so often influenced by the world to hear people say things like, but I want this or that, but I think that's okay. I don't see anything wrong with that. But there's no room in the kingdom for me first mentality. Where it exists, more sins and problems are bound to follow. We see that to be the case, as we noticed, the spirit of Diotrephes was also one of rejecting authority. In his case, John writes simply, he does not receive us. It may seem incredible that one would refuse to accept and submit to the Apostle John, an apostle of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But because of his love to be first, there was no room in his heart for someone to be over him in matters of authority. The teaching of the Bible, it's important that we appreciate the proper chain of authority in the kingdom. As Creator, God inherently has all authority. However, the Father has delegated all authority to His Son. We read this in Matthew 28, verse 18, and also Ephesians 1, verse 19 through 22. Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Ephesians 1, verse 19 through 22 says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church." And in turn, Jesus has delegated authority to His apostles. We read this in John 13, in verse 20. There Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." He sent the Holy Spirit to assist them and to guide them into all truth. In John 14, in verse 26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." In John 16, verse 12 and 13, Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come." So, they could speak and write with the authority of God behind them. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 37, "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord." And in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." This is why we find that the early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship with one another, as we read in Acts 2 and verse 42. So what about today? The spirit of the Diotrephes appears to reign unchecked in those churches that reject the authority of the apostles in preference for the authority of their own councils, their synods, and their conferences. The teachings of the apostles were clear, whether by command or example, concerning such issues as homosexuality or women preachers. The spirit of Diotrephes reigns supreme in the lives of those professing Christians who reject the apostles' call for holy and sanctified living. So they can choose their own sexual preferences, and they can choose their own lifestyle, and they are able to justify it. They can put their own personal interest first before the kingdom of God. Yes, living in a self-centered society such as ours, it's not uncommon to find the spirit of Diotrephes present in so many people's lives. When it is found in the lives of Christians, things can get really ugly. As we see in our text, the spirit of Diotrephes can manifest itself in Christians by speaking evil of the brethren. John says that Diotrephes was guilty of prating against us with malicious words. This word prating in the Greek means to be a babbler or trifler. By implication, it means to berate idly or mischievously. The word malicious means hurtful and evil. Diotrephes gave little concern about how he spoke with evil and hurtful words concerning his brethren and concerning the Apostle John. The Bible says that in Matthew 12, 36 and 37, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." We are commanded not to speak evil of one another in James 4, 11 and 12. When we do speak evil of the law, we speak evil of the law of God, and we set ourselves up as judges concerning these verses. There may come a time when it's necessary to rebuke our brethren, according to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. There it says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." And we are given the proper tools, which are the scriptures themselves, according to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. There it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished, or thoroughly equipped for every good work." We are instructed how to approach those errors in 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 through verse 26. There it says, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." In Galatians 6 and verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Today, doesn't the spirit of Diotrephes manifest itself when Christians engage in malicious gossip? Doesn't it rain when overzealous and self-appointed ones lambast their brethren when they disagree on certain things? It's often the desire of preeminence that prompts Christians to reject Bible teachings concerning brotherly love and to engage in malicious prating. The use of malicious words are not the only weapons used by those possessed by the spirit of Diotrephes. However, if in their love for preeminence, they have actually gained position and influence It's not unusual to see the spirit of Diotrephes manifest itself by abusing church discipline. In Diotrephes' case, not content with using prating and malicious words, Diotrephes is described as one who does not receive the brethren. He forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. In two ways, then, he was abusing church discipline: refusing to associate with those worthy of association, and using it as a weapon to manipulate others to do what he wanted. The scriptures tell us, and Jesus taught, that there might be times when church discipline was necessary. It tells us in Matthew 18, verse 15 through 17, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector." Paul described such a time on two occasions and gave instructions for carrying it out. When a man was living with his father, as we read in 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 13, and also when Christians refused to work, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6 through verse 15. So there are times when we must put away from yourself a wicked person. But there is also the possibility of abusing this method of church discipline, as in the case of Diotrephes. Today, if church discipline could be abused back then, it can certainly be abused today. This is not to be an excuse to never exercise church discipline, but to do so carefully. Just because another church has disciplined a brother doesn't mean it was done properly. It may have been done as a part of a power play by someone with the spirit of Diotrephes. The one being withdrawn from may be innocent. We must exercise discretion and know the facts before accepting the disciplinary action of another church. In closing, the spirit of Diotrephes can be summarized as one of desiring preeminence, rejecting authority, speaking evil of the brethren, and abusing church discipline. It is not necessary to have all four of these to be guilty of sin. Any one is an abomination before God. Any one can destroy brotherly relations. The spirit of Diotrephes must serve as a warning for us. In verse 11 of 3 John, it says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God." I can tell you this concerning Diotrephes. I bet when the Apostle John got through with him, I'm pretty sure he repented of his sins and turned and did the right thing. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But certainly that would be our hope. If there's anyone subject to the gospel call, would you come? Always stand and sing.